The Know Your Foe series continues with one of the most pivotal games this year on the schedule, Michigan State.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together for a midweek Know Your Foe episode. This week, talking about Michigan State, a game that kind of falls oddly in the schedule after, you know, playing Notre Dame, playing Penn State, a couple easier games, and then a bye week after this game. We could be 3-2 after this game. We could be 2-3. We could be 4-1. It's a pivotal game on the schedule. Got another good guest that covers the Spartans. I'm on SI. He's going to join us here. We're going to drop that interview here and then come back and react to it. Jacob Katsunika joining us from MSU Spartans on SI and the Michigan State Athletics Insider Podcast. Thanks for joining us, Jacob. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Excited for football season.
Let's talk about this, Jacob. Pat Fitzgerald, obviously the new thing in Michigan State, had a very successful, for the most part, career at Northwestern. What's the vibe around the fan base? What's the pulse of where everyone is with Pat Fitzgerald coming in?
Yeah, I mean, it's not often you can describe the hiring of a Big Ten head coach with 17 years of experience on the experimental side, but I think that's what this hire is because, again, he was out of the game for 3 years. We don't know. He's getting a bump up, obviously, in resources from Northwestern to Michigan State. And it's a new era of college sports. Being out of the game for 3 years is like, you know, 2022, his last season at Northwestern, is like ancient times now and how much college sports has changed. And honestly, I mean, the way it is right now, the fan base is just like, please get us to a bowl game. I mean, it's been 4 years now without a bowl game here at Michigan State. It's the longest drought in the entire Big Ten. Just find a way to get to 6-6. Whatever bowl game you get, whoever you play in that bowl game, getting to a bowl game would be gravy for the fan base right now.
Does he have the roster to make that happen?
I think it's doable. I wrote something up where I'm predicting 5-7 at this moment, but it is a relatively doable Big Ten schedule. You don't play Ohio State for Michigan. Michigan State doesn't play Ohio State this year. They don't play Indiana. They do play Oregon, but they don't play Penn State. But again, you have Notre Dame on the we both have Notre Dame on our non-conference schedules. We play them in South Bend. It's going to be very difficult, which is again why I have 5-7. But if they go 6-6, I do think all around if they can stay healthy, which has definitely not happened a lot at MSU in recent years, injuries have been a serious problem year in and year out. They can stay healthy. Yeah, 6-6 is absolutely on the table here.
Like both of our teams, we had to strengthen a lot in the portal, some key losses. Obviously, you lose a guy like Nick Marsh. You're bringing back your quarterback, Milivojevic, of course. So what are some key additions to that roster? Who did you strengthen the roster with?
So yeah, we went to two of my favorite additions of the offseason. We're both from UConn, actually. We got running back Cam Edwards and left tackle Ben Morosky. I'm going to imagine, because wide receiver is kind of a concern for us right now, that usually isn't the case, but it kind of is going into fall camp, that this is going to be a very run-heavy football team here at East Lansing this year. And Cam Edwards, we got him from the portal, 1,240 yards and 15 touchdowns at UConn last season. And then you get left tackle Ben Morosky from UConn. I think he was the fifth highest graded run blocker among all offensive tackles at the FBS level on Pro Football Focus. PFF grades aren't gospel, but it's something. And he's like 6'7", 350 pounds. I mean, the dude is huge. Those are two of my favorite on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side of things, not quite as many like blue chip gets, but I'd have to say you go to the cornerback room with Charles Brantley. He played for Michigan State for 4 years, went to Miami, just didn't work out from there. He only played 3 games for the Hurricanes, and now he came back in the offseason. 2024, he would have been in if he hadn't gotten hurt with a couple games left, he would have been second, third team, all Big Ten. And then they got Trey Bell on the other side of it, who started 8 games at Iowa State last year, got put into a starting role because of some injuries over there with the Cyclones, and did pretty well. So the corners should be a strength on our defense. Linebackers should be as well, but we're keeping Jordan Hall, which Jordan Hall should be the best player on this team.
Yeah. So is that your strongest position group, where, I mean, the linebackers because of Jordan Hall?
I'd say linebackers and running backs at this very moment. Linebackers, they have some depth around Jordan Hall as well. They got Caleb Wheatland from the portal. He was a pretty solid linebacker at Maryland a couple of years ago, and they got Deion Crawford, who's a pretty versatile guy. He has a good pass rushing background. Was previously at Buffalo as a third team All-MAC selection in 2024. So I really like the group of linebackers. They've got some good depth at that position as well. And the running backs, they have four guys they can turn to in the backfield week in and week out. They got Jazz Patterson from the portal from Iowa, solid RB2, RB3 for the Hawkeyes, which, again, that's a very run-heavy team that you're going to face. Marvis Parrish, over 700 yards from scrimmage as a true freshman at Western Kentucky. And they brought back Brandon Tullis, who was our RB2 for a good portion of the 2025 season.
So looking at, I mean, obviously the running backs are there. You mentioned the left tackle. The rest of the offensive line, can they protect Milivojevic in its current form? And will they be able to actually open the running lanes? Is that a strength that that unit improve, really, other than the left tackle?
Yeah, that is the big question kind of facing, because the offensive line play at MSU has certainly not been up to par. I think they gave up the second most sacks in the country, or not country, the Big Ten last season. It was like 37, and it went up when Milivojevic was under center, because he did, again, he's a young quarterback, kind of has that tendency to hold on to the ball a little bit too long. And again, Aiden Childs was under center for a good portion of that season. He would bail out the offensive line from a sack probably twice a game. Milivojevic doesn't have that level of mobility, so the pass protection is absolutely key for MSU this year. They're bringing back their starting right tackle, Connor Moore. There is some wonderings if he's going to maybe play guard for the earlier portions of the season, because our Luka Vincic, who was supposed to be our starting right guard last season, and he got hurt earlier on in the year. It was a pretty severe injury. We don't know if he's going to be available for week one just yet, so they might move him over to guard. We do have some decent depth at right tackle, a couple guys who could fill in that spot, but they also got Nick Sharp from the portal. He was at South Carolina last year, was a starter at Wake Forest in the past. He was with our new offensive line coach, Nick Tabaka. And then center Trent Fraley, he was the FCS Remington Award winner, top center in that subdivision. So that was another pretty good transfer forward pickup. So if healthy, offensive line should be better. But again, this is all on paper. We'll have to see what happens once the season begins, though.
Who can be the X factor on this team, Jacob? Like, who's the guy that could break out and potentially really affect this ability to get to six wins?
A name to know is Charles Taplin. This is his second year. He was a true freshman last season, redshirted, only one catch for 8 yards, but he made a lot of noise during the spring, and that was a serious surprise, because he was the second lowest rated scholarship recruit in MSU's 2025 class. He was like in the 1600s ranked nationally, but he was running with the starters during the spring game, and he seems to be one of the main breakout candidates for this team right now. Another guy to maybe keep an eye on is a Rodney Bullard. He's actually been awaiting since January a waiver from the NCAA to see if he's eligible for this season or not. How we're talking about this in August when he applied for it in like January, I don't know. That's the NCAA for you. But if he's eligible, he's another guy who could be a starter. But the X factor on the offensive side of the ball is the wide receivers, because Courtney Hawkins, our wide receivers coach, is probably our best position coach. Maybe it's Max Bolla, who we brought over to be the line from Notre Dame to be the linebackers coach. He's a program legend here at East Lansing, but there's usually an NFL receiver or two in the MSU wide receiver room. We just don't know who that's going to be, but look out for Charles Taplin.
What's your weakest position group? What's the way that teams are going to get after you, do you think, this season?
Defensive line. That's a real concern for me right now. Both the pass rushers and the interior, the depth on the interior defensive line is really, really thin. We only have two defensive tackles on the roster right now that have like really played college football, like serious snaps before. And one of those two defensive tackles has kind of had an injury bug during his career. He's missed time. And the pass rush at MSU has been pretty bad, atrocious, you could say. At times, if you don't know, during the 2024 season, they went six games in a row without a single sack. Oh. Not one. Six games, half the season without a sack. And again, that was 2 years ago. They got a little better at it last year, but the portal players that they got, and they didn't get a lot of proven production at edge rusher or rush end. That's one of their little quirks in their defense. Just not a lot of proven production there. I'm very skeptical about how the defensive line is going to hold up.
Well, hopefully the Wisconsin running attack can be successful.
Well, that's usually pretty potent.
Yeah. What's Michigan State's kind of view of this game? The Wisconsin, obviously, we're a team that's been going through kind of a down couple of years with Luke Fickell. Looks like we've kind of turned the corner here. Is this a game that Michigan State fans can like look at and say, we can steal one here in Madison? Like, what's the view? What's your view of this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a game from the MSU side of things that MSU fans are probably going to look to try to steal this one. I wrote a game-by-game prediction, and to be frank to you guys, I predicted MSU to win. I had to put 5 wins somewhere, and I kind of looked at that game at Wisconsin. I frankly, if Wisconsin's going to be the favorite in this game, that's totally understandable to me. I think 5-7 was the right thing to put there, so I had to put it somewhere. But this is going to be, in the wider scope of our season, this is going to be one of the biggest tone setters probably for MSU. Because they start out with Toledo and Eastern Michigan, two games you absolutely should win. Go to Notre Dame, South Bend, you're not winning that. And then you play Nebraska at home, which winnable, but I think Nebraska is going to get better this season. And we lost at Lincoln last year. We probably should have won that game actually in Lincoln, but some really bad special teams errors happened. That's why we hired LeVar Woods from Iowa. But then you go to Madison, you're probably looking at 2-2. And you're 0-1 in Big Ten play. The difference between 3-2 and 2-3 there, especially with the back half of our schedule being a lot more difficult, you have Washington, you have Oregon, you have Michigan on the road. You got to win one of those games against Nebraska or Wisconsin. So this game has a real potential to be absolutely massive for MSU's season, you know, the overall result.
And for us, I mean, because we also play Notre Dame, and then we've got to the two of the weaker schools, and then we go to Penn State. So, like, we also could be 2-2 very easily going into that game against Michigan State, and that's why we've identified it as, like, all. I mean, totally the same way that we have a bye week after we play Michigan State. So if we don't win that game, we could be 2-3, and then all of a sudden people are talking about Luke Fickell. Does he need to lose his job now? Can he make it to the season? So, yeah, it's definitely a tone-setting game and a game that we are certainly looking forward to. I'm going to be up there for that game, so that's going to be awesome. Jacob, tell people where they can find your work.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's just my name, first and last, all lowercase. You can get that there. You can just go to look up Michigan State on SI. I write multiple articles a day. I probably put out more content, just pure content, than anyone else on the Michigan State beat. So you can go and find me there.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Jacob. Appreciate the expertise.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Justin, this is a big game. We can't afford to lose this game against Michigan State. Honestly, otherwise, this could be the end of Luke Fickell, especially if things don't start the way we want it to. A team that lost Nick Marsh, they're bringing back their quarterback who played at the very end of last year. It's a team we have to beat, right, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, this is the team that when I look at the roster build, like, you have a talent advantage in this game. I just feel like when we talk about some of the holes that were closed with what we did in the transfer portal, this is one of those games where I look at and it's like, yeah, we're solid across the board. And I don't know that you can necessarily say that about MSU right now. And I think that that's kind of one of the reasons why I looked at this game and I felt pretty confident about it. It's just that when you have a new coaching staff coming in and trying to get things set right, you're inevitably left with holes because you're going to have guys that just decide to hit the portal simply because the staff that they came in with is gone. And then you have a massive player like Nick Marsh who leaves and goes to Indiana, who was, quite honestly, a guy who looked like an NFL player in his freshman year, and now you have to replace that somehow. That's a huge safety valve that's gone from this offense. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they can do to try and fill that up with a new coaching staff.
Yeah, you know, Jacob mentioned the running backs as a strength, but he also said the offensive line is a big question mark. And ultimately, I think that's the key. Like, they got that brought in that new transfer left tackle that Jacob mentioned. But other than that, their offensive line is a big question mark. If our defensive line can get penetration and get to Milivojevic and stop their running game, which I think you and I both said multiple times, we feel pretty confident in our ability to stop the run. What are they really going to do? Like, they're not going to be able to move the ball that much on us. And this has to be, obviously, the two non-con games, Western Illinois, Eastern, whatever. Like, those are games we have to dominate. But in the Big Ten season, if we do go to Penn State and we lose, which is very possible, winning this game against Michigan State and really saying, okay, this is the separator between being a middle of the road Big Ten team, being a lower half, being an upper half. Like, if you don't beat Michigan State, you can look across the rest of the schedule and think, oh, shoot, like, we can't even get another game. It's going to be back to the same old nonsense. This is equivalent to that Maryland game last year. That Maryland game that we thought, okay, we need to win that Maryland game, and we ended up losing it, and look what happened. That's where this game falls. I think it's super important. But yeah, I just don't see a lot of things that we can do that they're going to do against us. Now, conversely, Jordan Hall, their linebacker, who is definitely an all Big Ten guy, their best player, he's going to produce some problems for us for our offense. But I'd like to think that, you know, Colton Joseph using his legs in this game is going to be a weapon that Michigan State's not going to be able to stop.
Well, I kind of look at it like this. If you're going to have an option type scheme like Wisconsin's going to use with Colton Joseph, he's going to have to make a choice, and he's got to choose right every time. Because if he makes the wrong decision, you have a quarterback that's capable of grabbing 10 yards, and you have a running back that's probably capable of grabbing 10 yards. And if that's the case, and that's really what getting a guy like Colton Joseph does for you. I talked about it last night on a show that we had signed up for, where I said, you can't crash as the edge anymore. Like, you just can't afford to give in and just sell out on the start of the play to try and lock up the middle of the line, because Joseph is too fast. Like, if you crash and he keeps the ball, you have to hope that linebacker can cover up your mistake, or he's got 15 to 20 yards. Because the corners still have to pay attention to the wide receivers. They can't just afford to sell out at the run game. Or you have to run the risk of Joseph holding onto it and having some type of RPO pass play where he keeps the ball and then throws it out to the edge. And now you give up a 20-yard run, you know, catch and run to a wide receiver. Like, there's so many things you can do with a quarterback that has that type of mobility. And you know, we saw Indiana, a team that, you know, both MSU and Wisconsin aspire to be, struggle with him. And I think that that's kind of where you look at this and say, okay, he gives you some options in terms of what you can do just schematically. Now you have to find a way just for the offensive line to come together. And if this is a capable offensive line, I feel really confident about this game.
Yeah. What do you think about the,
but I think it's just, I feel so much better about this team if the offensive line can do its job.
It's definitely the first thing we're going to watch for in that Notre Dame game, right? It's like what that offensive line could do. What's your take on the Pat Fitzgerald factor? Like, I mean, obviously he was a guy that gave us fits in Northwestern, obviously with Hankowitz as his DC, but are you confident that he's going to be able to kind of just get back to his glory days? Obviously he's going to have more resources from an NIL perspective at Michigan State. What are your thoughts like on that whole angle?
Yeah, I just don't know what to make of it. And like I said, I described the biggest issue that Wisconsin had with Northwestern was their defense under Hankowitz. So the question then becomes, can he make another good hire? In some ways, it parallels what Fickell has got, the same questions that people ask about him since he lost Freeman and the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. What's his name?
Denbrock. Denbrock.
Yes. I knew it started with a D. I could not remember it. Where people are like, well, was it the coordinators or was it Fickell? And it's kind of with Fitzgerald. I think there's some similar questions there. Was it Hankowitz, who just was a really high quality defensive coordinator? Wisconsin had some of that with Jim Leonard. You know, when he left, it was like, are they going to be able to get it done? Well, we answered some of those questions last year, where the defense really seemed to come back around and prove that it was capable. We got to continue to do it this year to prove that that's who they are under this regime. But I think that there's some legitimate questions with Fitzgerald about whether or not he can get it done without Hankowitz there to anchor his defense, because that was what Northwestern was. Like, they were kind of Iowa light in some ways, where they were just one of those teams that didn't have a lot of offense, but they would just punch you in the mouth on defense and grind. And if he doesn't have a defensive coordinator that's a really good, high-quality defensive coordinator, I don't think you have the athletes on this team yet that you look at and say they can cover up mistakes schematically. Like, they're not that type of athletes. And Wisconsin, to our credit, we have one or two guys that are capable of doing that. It's basically Mason Posa, where he can make a mistake, but he can cover up for it because he's just that type of a freak. Other than that, we can't get away with it really either.
Yeah, for sure. I think Pat Fitzgerald's going to do good things at Michigan State. Over time. It's not going to be this year. I definitely feel like I think it's a good hire. Jacob has mentioned on his podcast that, you know, he really wanted Bob Chesney, and I think a lot of people wanted Bob Chesney. UCLA ended up getting him, but I think Pat Fitzgerald's a decent hire. Like he showed that he had pedigree. He could compete in the Big Ten. He could beat good teams. Now he's going to have better resources, but it's not quite this season. Jacob did say pencil this in as a win for him only because he really feels like 5-7 is probably their record. And he's like, our schedule's tougher on the back half. We kind of feel like this is a game we have to win. I understand that perspective. We have the same perspective. We have a better outlook on the season. I'm pretty confident in this game. I'd say after talking to Jacob, usually after these interviews, I'm like, ooh, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm actually feeling more confident.
Aware.
I was afraid that Jacob was going to convince me that Pat Fitzgerald's ready to make this work right now. It doesn't sound like that's the case because the talent level is just not there. The roster isn't as polished as our roster is. I'm feeling like if we lose this game, it could absolutely be the end of Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I really feel like the only way that we blow this one is with stupid turnovers. I think that Joseph, if he is competent this season, I see no reason why he can't be effective in this game against them, because I just don't see defensively a bunch of guys who are going to make them be a top tier Big Ten unit this year. They do have, obviously, you said, a really good player in Hall, but as we've seen in the past, like one or two guys doesn't do it. Like you've got to be solid everywhere in order to for a defense to excel. And at all three levels. And I feel like, honestly, this is the first season that we've looked at under Fickell where we're like, yeah, the secondary probably has the pieces where it can be hold up its end of the bargain. But I just don't see them being able to stop him without turnovers and making this game ugly. Because the quarterback, I don't think he's going to challenge us enough. And I don't know that they're going to be able to run the ball, because I think we're going to have the hosses to put in the trenches in that game to make them uncomfortable with their run game. I don't believe their offensive line is going to be able to impose their will. And if our defensive line comes to play, and they might be salty after a game against Penn State, where I think that that's going to be a better game than people think it is. Maybe Wisconsin wants to come out and prove that that was an aberration, or maybe we get a big win in that game and they are feeling themselves a little bit in a game like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, it's got to be a win. That's the one thing that's guaranteed. It's got to be a win. Fall camp starts tomorrow. We're excited about that. We're going to be back again on Sunday to do Fall Camp Insiders. Nick Osen will be joining us. And I can tell you this, it's not official yet, but it sounds like Michigan State, this game that we're talking about here, is going to be our Locked On Badgers, the Bucky Report meetup in Madison. So we'll get those all finalized. We'll figure that out once Justin and Ryan and I decide exactly what we're going to be doing this year. But that's going to be that. So we'll see you again on Sunday to talk more about the season, which is just 32 days away. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin!